Metal Interview.
Hey, a big what's up to all the fellow metalheads out there. Welcome to this episode of That Metal Interview, right here on J-Rock's Metal Zone. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Don't forget to share social media. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We're out there, Reddit, Tumblr, the whole deal. We're on social media. Thank you for following us, if you already do so. That Metal Interview, jrocksmetalzone.com. Today we have the multi-talented musician, arranger, producer, all of the above, man. Great talent. Guitarist for Faster Pussycat and LA Guns, the one and only Ace Von Johnson. How you doing, Ace?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Good, good, man, good. Thank you for making time to talk to us, your fans, all the Faster Pussycat fans, all the LA Gun fans, and of course, all the Ace Von Johnson fans. You know who you are. We're fans of all your projects out there, so thank you, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, not a problem.
We've been following your career, man, and you have a very, very impressive, lengthy bio. You've been a part of many, many bands, great projects, and you still are, of course, throughout your career, ranging from Cheap Sex, Murphy's Law, a great punk band, Madcap, The Generators, Blackpool Republic, and the list goes on, man, on and on. Just a great, great career. At what age did you start playing an instrument?
I picked up a guitar when I was about 12. Never took a lesson or anything, but just took it seriously, probably starting at about 17. Started my first band, and off I went.
So, your first band was Cheap Sex, or which was it?
No, technically my first band was a band called PBR, like the beer. It was just a punk rock band for fun, and we played around Southern California a bunch, and opened for the Misfits and UK Subs and a lot of punk rock bands, and then some friends and I started Cheap Sex, which is basically the rhythm section of my first band, Gabe and Chris and myself. And we did the first record, Launch Off to War. I was, I don't know, maybe 18, and then I joined Madcap. They had a record deal, and we went on tour with Dropkick Murphys and Warped Tour and Fall Out Boy and all that stuff, and
whoa,
off I went.
Warped Tour. Nice, man. Nice, nice. I'm a fan of LA Guns, Faster Pussycat. I used to follow, and I heard of those bands way back on Headbangers Ball. For those of you that remember that show, Headbangers Ball was a great source to find new bands, new rock, metal bands, and all that. So, do you remember Headbangers Ball?
Yeah, I do. Ricky Rackman's one of my best friends.
Oh, yeah? Wow, you know Ricky.
Yeah, I talked to him today.
How did it feel getting the guitarist positioned with these bands?
Well, it came as a natural progression. It was just the Pussycat gig became, I was playing in a sort of Americana rock and roll kind of band with some of the guys who were also in Faster Pussycat and some other bands from the same era. And eventually when they needed a guitar player, they just gave me a call. And so that's kind of how that happened. And through Pussycat, I met the LA Guns guys about 10 years ago, and eventually, over time, they not only did we become friends, but they would eventually sort of have me come up and jam with them, or ask them to play songs together, and then they needed a guitar player, and same thing, they gave me a call, and here I am.
So is this the project you're talking about, Charlie and the Valentine Killers you're talking
about?
Yeah,
that was that project, yeah, so that had Brian Forsyth from Kix, and Jerry Montano from Danzig and Hell Yeah, and Chad Stewart on drums at one point, and Danny Nordahl from Pussycat at one point. So that was kind of how I met the Pussycat guys.
Wow, man. Talk about an all-star lineup. Nice. How did you land that gig with LA Guns?
Just from being in Faster Pussycat, I met those guys on the road and doing shows and tours together, and eventually when they needed somebody, they had called me initially about a year ago. Just scheduling wise and timing, it didn't work out, but when they gave me a shout over the summer again, scheduling, it worked, so I came on board because I was able to do both, and here I am.
We understand you're a huge Pitbull advocate.
Yeah, I am. I try to, you know, do as much advocacy work for them as possible and networking to try to get some out of the shelters and into homes or rescues.
That's cool. I love animals, man. I love animals. I'm a huge cat fanatic. I'm a cat person, you know.
Yeah.
Here's a musician question. Do you guys rehearse for a tour or right before a tour? I did notice you guys are heading to Australia with Pussycat.
Yeah, I leave on Monday. We seldom rehearse, probably maybe once or twice a year, if that. So it's usually everyone does their homework at home and then off we go.
How do you balance out your life, your private life, with all these projects and LA Guns and Pussycat? How do you manage that, man? How do you do that?
It's time consuming, I can tell you that. I you know, seldom have any free time to do anything like binge watch TV shows or whatever normal people do, but you know, it's just a matter of being on the phone with management and keeping the schedules, you know, separate and kind of letting everybody know as far in advance what I have going on and vice versa. I'm just trying to make time for both and several other projects I've got going too. I'm actually in another band called Neon Coven, sort of an electronic rock band. We're working on a second EP right now. We're actually,
really?
Get off this phone. When I get off the phone with you, I got to go do a photo shoot with them for the new record. So,
really?
Yeah, it's sort of like Nine Inch Nails meets Depeche Mode kind of thing.
Oh,
like
wow.
A little bit of rock to it. So, yeah, so the last EP came out about a year and a half ago. It managed to chart independently. And, yeah, so, and then there's a couple other things I'm working on as well. I play with Yerky 69 from the 69 Eyes and his solo band.
Yeah.
And we're going to be doing a new record this year with Cleopatra. So, you know, I'm pretty busy between just all the other bands. I'm sure I'm in five other bands I can't think of at the moment, but I'm always doing something.
The 69 Eyes. There you go. Yeah, that was my next question. Cleopatra Records. These guys are from Europe, of course. Is that one of your latest projects?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's pretty much all I have time for at the moment.
Now, being the younger member of LA Guns and Faster Pussycat, what are your plans after these guys get older and retire? You got any plans after?
Well, honestly, I don't plan on touring for the rest of my life. I'd really,
really?
I've got some other business. Yeah, I've got some business ventures that are not music related that I've been working on over the last 2 years or so, that hopefully, you know, in the next 5 years or so will allow me to just basically play music when I choose to instead of doing it for a full-time job. That's pretty much where I'm at right now, is that this is just basically my day job that I do, you know,
yeah,
pretty much year-round. So, you know, but I know both bands don't have any really interest in stopping anytime soon. I would imagine Pussycat's got a few more years in them.
Yeah.
And Tracy was talking about the next 10 years of LA Guns with me the other day. So, you know, I don't know. It's kind of up to them. And if I'm still here, I'm still here. If not, I'll do something else.
Here's a different question. What's going on with these two versions of LA Guns? I understand longtime drummer Steve Riley has surfaced with his version of LA Guns at one of those M3 rock festivals, right? Can you talk about this?
Yeah, he's playing one show. So, you know, I mean, the problem is that everyone's enjoying the field day in the press with it. But
yeah,
at the end of the day, he's throwing together whoever he can get, and a bunch of people he wanted won't do it. And it's simply a cash grab.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's going to go do his one show. That he only has one show booked, whereas the real LA Guns with this, you know, with Tracy and Phil, if you will,
of course,
has been going for years.
Yes, of course.
About to drop a new album and do a whole world tour. So I mean, it's kind of hard to really call it two versions when it's just one guy,
just one guy,
one show. You know what I mean? I don't think one show constitutes as a second version. I think it's just people are misconstruing it for what it really is, and ultimately, it's done out of spite by some people at the festival for LA Guns pulling out of the festival several years ago. I know all about it personally because I know both the individuals that run M3 very well, and obviously I know LA Guns very well even before joining them. So
yeah.
I know both sides of the story, which I'm not going to get into publicly, but
uh-huh.
At the end of the day, it's basically just done out of spite, and Riley's doing it to sort of fuck over Tracy and Phil, and as a cash grab. And I understand that, but at the end of the day, I can't have any respect for that, especially when all the guys he tried to get, with the exception of Kelly Nichols, who also has a vendetta against Tracy and Phil, passed on it. So, you know, I just kind of look at it like some guys going to go jam. I think it's unfortunate and incorrect for them to label it as LA Guns.
Yeah.
It's like Steven Adler calling Adler's Appetite Guns N' Roses. It's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing.
So, yeah. So that's kind of my take on it, you know, and I'm happy to be a part of what I consider the only LA Guns.
I agree.
And if people want to argue about it, that's on them. But yeah. I don't think, you know, one or two guys that wrote, you know, if anything, a small fraction or percentage of the material, although Riley, I don't think, has any writing credits. You know, it's hard to say that the drummer makes it the real band, you know, but especially going against what this lineup has, you know what I mean? If there was no other band, let's say like Quiet Riot, where you've got Frankie Benali still playing out, I think that's one thing. But I think to go up against Tracy and Phil and call it the same band, and also without saying that it's just the drummer, I think it's unfair. That's the take on it.
I agree, absolutely. You got Tracy and you got Phil in there, so to me, that's LA Guns to me, and I'm sure most of the fans are going to agree with that. I mean, you got Phil, Tracy, yourself, Danny, you know.
Agreed.
I got a couple of fan questions off social media, if you will. Vince says, Ace, is there any new music coming from Faster Pussycat? And any tour plans with Pussycat?
Pussycat has a long summer tour over the summer with Bang Tango, and as far as an album, I just keep telling people, eventually it'll happen, but don't hold your breath.
Okay, another fan question. Robert says, Ace, did you have recording contributions on the new LA Guns album?
No, I wish that I did, but unfortunately, it was recorded and written months before they had contacted me about joining, so I am pictured on the album as I am a member now, but I didn't contribute to it as far as writing or playing goes, no. But hopefully the next one.
Absolutely, man. Fans do want to listen to you and your talent on there, of course. Here's the last question, Ace. This is an off-the-wall question. I don't understand what this fan is talking about. Maybe you do. Cindy wants to know, how long did it take you to perfect the backbender? It is so awesome to watch.
She's talking about that backbend thing I do on stage occasionally.
Okay.
It originated from, I was in a car accident about 12 years ago, and one of the things I was doing to help my back injury, which I still suffer from, is some yoga. So I will do some of that sometimes to sort of help stretch my back and alleviate some of the pain and pressure back there. And that's how I initially was able to realize I could bend backwards like that. So, and depending on how much, you know, time I spend exercising and how much of weight I put on or lose, I can bend back pretty far. I mean, I can bend all the way, at one point, could bend all the way backwards and almost touch my head to the ground, you know.
Really?
So, but that was also when I was still in my 20s, you know. Now I'm 36, so it's not so easy anymore to do all that crazy stuff, so.
Oh, wow. Well, there you go. For the fans out there that wanted to ask Ace a couple of questions, there you go, man. Ace, we'd like to thank you for making time for us, your fans, from your hectic schedule. Of course, we all know you're a busy guy, man. On behalf of everyone here at J-Rock's Metal Zone and this episode of That Metal Interview, we wish you the best on all your future tours, projects, anything related. Ace Von Johnson, wish you the best, man. Thank you for spending time with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
This concludes this episode of That Metal Interview right here on J-Rock's Metal Zone. Thank you for tuning in to jrocksmetalzone.com. Thank you for tuning in and looking for us on YouTube, our channel. Look for us on there, J-Rock's Metal Zone. That Metal Interview. Don't forget to subscribe, share, pass the word around, man, to all you rockers out there, metalheads. And of course, be looking out for the new LA Guns album, The Devil You Know, coming out very, very soon. So be looking out for it. Faster Pussycat, go out there and get their albums, grab their albums, download them, stream, you know, support all these rock acts, man, support all these metal acts. So, AceVonJohnson.com, go out there and support his acts, all his projects, of course.
The 69 Eyes.
All right, man. So I guess we'll see you guys next time. Thank you for tuning in to JRocksMetalZone.com. That Metal Interview.
That Metal Interview.